Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's Home for Sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Good morning. It is MLB deadline day. Somebody let the people at 1060 West Addison know they're allowed to sign people better than Yan Gomes and Clint Frazier. What the H is going on over there?
If that's really their names. Clint Frazier and Yan Gomes. Hi, reservation for two? Yes. Gomes, comma, Yan? Get out. No, sir, what's really your name? No, Gomes? Yan?
Y-A-N.
Yes. I have a hotel room under Gomes. Yan. Security. Get him out of here.
Yeah. Who names their kid Yan? Anyway, the Cubs signed a catcher yesterday for $13 million for 2 years, and there's an option for a third. He's 34. He hit 221.
Okay. So when that story broke late in our show yesterday, you're thinking, you know what? Now the Cubs will have a really nice, a couple of nice catchers. Good to have some depth, quality depth there. You got a Yan Gomes and you got a Wilson Contreras.
Yep.
Wilson Contreras. Thank you, Zach. Now that I've said Wilson Contreras' name, I need to take a nap. Bottom of the first here, Zach.
Thank you, Pat.
So I saw that, and I know that your eyebrows raised when you saw that too. Hey, wait a minute now. Wilson Contreras is only one of the few sure things on this team. What's going on there? Why would you need a backup catcher? Maybe they don't need a backup catcher. Maybe they see Yan Gomes as the starter for the future.
So I did some investigative work yesterday.
Yes.
There are people around Contreras who think he's gone. Gone. He's out of the country. He's in Venezuela right now. And he posted a cryptic tweet yesterday with four airplane emojis. That's all it was.
Oh, jeez.
And everyone went, oh, God, what does that mean? He's in Venezuela visiting his parents and his family down there.
I don't think those planes for his family. What do you think?
I think they were, I flew to Venezuela. Oh, and by the way, I might be getting traded.
So which plane was for Venezuela? Which one was for I'm leaving the Cubs?
The other three.
Ah, I see. The other three, I see.
I can just tell you, if they trade Wilson Contreras, unless you tell me they got this unreal deal back, it might be the stupidest thing I've watched them do.
Well, this is how I know for sure that you don't listen to me. This is why I know for sure that you're listening to two-thirds of the show. You're two-thirds. This is why I know that you don't listen to me. Because I warned you of this.
You did.
Did I not tell you that if you're going to get rid of Bryant, Rizzo, Schwarber before the... If you're going to do that, then that means that you're trying to, A, cut payroll, and, two, start over again. And you know what? At the time, you said it's okay to let these guys go. Danny was the one that was clutching the casket, hoping that, these guys could stay around for one more run.
I had no problem with any of the deals they made at the deadline. None.
So, but again, there is no quick fix in baseball, man. We know how much money that the Cubs could spend this offseason. I'd say well north of $200 million if they wanted to in salary, right? They could spend that much.
If they wanted to.
If they wanted to, they could spend over $200 million in salary.
No question.
But why would you if you're not really seriously contending? Cardinals are better, for sure. They're going to have a good run here, this Cardinals team.
How about the Cheeseheads?
In the autumn of Molina's career.
Yep.
They're going to go for it. They're going to put all their chips in the middle of the table, say, this will be your last run. We will have a commitment to winning. And the same thing with Milwaukee, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's why they're not doing it. And as if I'm a Cub fan, I understand what's happening here. I had a nice run. I got a World Series championship out of it, and Theo left a year early because he knew the writing was on the wall. Because he stuck with that. He stood with that
he
core.
He saw it coming.
He stuck with the core too long.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
That's on him and Jet.
That's correct.
And then the pathetic performance in the minor league system, that's on them as well. That said, I give you Exhibit A, that you can turn things around more quickly than maybe we believe.
Oh, you got a sidebar?
Sidebar, may I approach?
Brought to you by Aiken Law.
That's right, Howard Aiken, 312-6 million.
Well, you have an Exhibit A, so I thought maybe there. What do you have there?
Barrister? 2018 San Francisco Giants finished under 500.
Mm-hmm.
2019 San Francisco Giants finished under 500.
Mm-hmm.
2020 pandemic shortened season, two games under 500. They changed managers. Bruce Bochy retired. Fresh energy, Gabe Kapler, couple of veteran signings. They did not go spend $1 billion. And guess what? The Giants won 107 games.
Mm-hmm.
They went and got Kevin Gausman, who'd pitched in Baltimore, and they've got Logan Webb they developed. And guess what? They won 107 freaking games. You're telling me that the Chicago flipping Cubs,
careful,
who have packed houses all the time, they own all of Wrigleyville, they can't go out and make some astute signings, they lost on Steven Matz, they finished second. When you finish second, that means he pitches in a Cardinal uniform. You're telling me they couldn't have gone out and gotten Robbie Ray? He didn't get $200 million. Everyone speculated, oh, seven for 210. He got $115 million. Not to you and I, that's $1 billion. In Major League Baseball, that's not big money for a top-end starter.
Yep.
He won the Cy flipping Young.
Yep.
So Buster only tweeted this morning, and I believe Buster's as tapped in as anybody.
No question.
Buster said the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers have not been active because they're going to wait till the lockout is over and the new collective bargaining agreement is in place. And then they know what they're dealing with, and then they can go try and go crazy because they think the prices right now are insane. The Cubs are in that ballpark, but there's a difference. Yankees have really good players.
Sure.
Dodgers, really good players. Boston, really good players. The Cubs suck. They don't have any. Their payroll as of yesterday morning was $66 million.
Yeah.
The Mets have spent $266 million.
Because they got players, and they're going places. And they got a new owner. They got Phillip City Field. So you can understand why. You get that. But I understand. You're not saying it, but I'll say it for you. I understand your frustration because you want a commitment to winning over there with Ricketts.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. Listen, I'm a White Sox fan. You know how long I had to wait to even get to the playoffs back-to-back years? You know how long I had to wait through Ventura and all that nonsense over there? It was bad. It was hard to watch and go to Sox games knowing you're just spinning your wheels. And as a Cub fan, I know that you are frustrated because you're saying, man, how can you go from Theo building a World Series champion and a team that was a perennial playoff team to this,
mm-hmm.
right? That's hard to take, especially in this city. We are a big boy market, and I don't like tanking. I don't like it, but I understand that's part of the game. It's what Boris talked about a few weeks ago at mm-hmm. the GM meetings, that this is it hurts the game. But I think it hurts the game even more so in big markets like this one. I mean, I just told you the other day, Cap, I'm missing baseball. But I know that you won't miss this team, this Cubs team in 2022 when it looks like that.
Right.
Meaningless baseball.
And I understand how bad the infrastructure is when Tom and his family bought the team. It was awful.
Sure.
I wrote in my book, this was a team that, you know how they knew how season ticket renewals were going? This is a true story. This is not me being like wacky fun guy. Hey, how are season ticket renewals going? We've refilled the fax machine twice. That's how they monitored it. They had no analytics. They had no computers. None of it. And now it's all been modernized, and they got this beautiful ballpark and this state-of-the-art clubhouse and this $5 million computer named Ivy. They've got all that stuff going. I get all of it. You don't have to be this bad. You don't. You do not have to take it all the way to the studs again.
I understand.
The Chicago Cubs should not be tearing it apart to the studs twice in a decade.
Because you know why you don't? Because when you do it that way, you're the Miami Marlins.
Right.
And I know you don't want to hear it like that because I know that's harsh.
But you're right.
But that's who you've become. Oh, we can build a World Series championship. See? Now we're going to take it away. Wait a minute. What happened to the winning? Oh, well, with biblical proportions, we know we're not ready to win yet. That's not right. You should always be competitive as possible in this city. Los Angeles, it's New York, it's Chicago, Houston, markets like that, Bay Area. You should always be competitive. For that to be that, Boston and Philly, you could bring those cities in there as well because those are strong baseball cities, St. Louis as well. But that should not be happening.
You
remember the Marlins were horrible, were the World Series champions.
97 champ.
And that would tear
it
down.
And they sold everything off.
Yeah.
Al Leiter and all these guys. Gone.
Yeah.
03, they won it again.
Yeah. And then tear it down again.
And then tore it down again. And then they ended up having to sell it to Derek Jeter, and he fired everybody and got rid of all the players. Christian Yelich gets dealt to Milwaukee. Here's my problem with this. This is the Chicago freaking Cubs, and it's Chicago, Illinois. This is a big boy market. New York, Chicago, Philly, Boston, mm-hmm. L.A., and us.
Sure.
That's it. And I think you can do both. You can try and contend and still rebuild this thing. Now, again, as Buster reported, New York Yankees, Chicago Cubs, Boston Red Sox, L.A. Dodgers, San Francisco, think the prices are insane. They're going to wait to know what the playing field is. I get it. But come on, man. You only got $66 million in payroll till you sign a backup catcher yesterday. So you're in the 70s. You're $200 million behind what the top teams are doing. You could do both.
I would also say for those over at 35th and Vec, don't rest on your laurels. Hey, I like the Central Division Championship like any other White Sox fan, but it's time for the next step. You feel like you have the core and you don't need anything else? Listen, look at your starting pitching. Look at your second base. Figure out what you want to do at DH. I mean, you got a couple of holes there. All I know is that you have to have diversity within your lineup. Diversity in the lineup. And I don't know why Schwarber wouldn't be on your list as a left-handed thump, right? I'm just using that as an example. But I don't know what's going on there with Rick Hahn either. You know, look, I like the direction of the team, but it's time for another step, okay? Like, I love that the Sox are in the playoffs because that's meaningful baseball, Cap.
Mm-hmm.
But don't just sit back and just say, well, there's going to be a lockout. And then after the lockout, it's like, well, what's left? It's going to be like Will Smith in the empty apartment. Like, where'd everybody go? Because all the good free agents will be gone. Get someone in there that can make a difference for your offense for 2022 if you're the White Sox.
312-332-3776. Is there any good news for the Cubs and Sox during the hot stove season, which could be put on a extended pause at 11:59 tonight when they will lock the players out till they get the new deal done? Okay. You better get going, guys. Jeff Passan will answer that good news question next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Yeah. 7:19 in the great city of Chicago. Jonathan Hood, David Kaplan here every weekday morning at 7 a.m. with Danny Zetterman, Jeff Meller, and J.R. Strauss. Don't forget Carmen Yurk at 10, Waddle and Greeny at noon, Waddle and Sylvia at 2, Black and Abdallah at 6.
Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8.
There you go. And I think the two dudes from Libertyville are going to be doing the Chicago's College Tailgate Show. They are, I think, out in Oak Brook Terrace this weekend getting ready for all the conference championship games.
Yeah, it's a great show if you're a college football fan. Make sure that you're checking in with Black and Abdallah on Saturday morning because they're going to break it all down before the big games take place, including my Georgia Bulldogs getting the job done.
There you go. Big Cat was out Waddle and Silva yesterday. Said it's his play of the year. Georgia minus 6.5.
Okay.
You're the Georgia guru. What do you think?
No, well, I'm very nervous about Saturday. Very nervous. You never believe it until you see zeros on the board and Georgia being up on top. I'm very nervous about this game. Everyone tells me this is the national championship team. This is going to happen this year. We will see, Cap. We'll see.
I'm excited to watch.
Yes, very nervous.
So Jeff Passan was on with the boys yesterday afternoon, and the discussion came around the lockout that's coming tonight at 11:59 Eastern time. Eastern. So it's 10:59 here. And then you're locked down. You can't be on the grounds if you're a player. You're not allowed in the ballpark. You can't go around any of the team facilities out spring training. None of it. Everything is a lockout. And then they got to get a new collective bargaining agreement done. And Scott Boras is playing a major role this time. He didn't the last time because they froze him out. Now he's telling all his top clients, be the player rep on your team, and then I will be able to help counsel you on what we should get in this deal. Mm-hmm. So Passan was asked, any good free agent news regarding the Cubs and Sox? Because the Cubs have not done much, if anything. The White Sox made one move in the bullpen.
Well, if the Cubs were going to do something big, I'm not going to say they missed out on their opportunity because there are still some players out there. I do not think Chris Bryant's going to be coming back to town. I do not think Kyle Schwarber is going to be coming back to town. Trevor Story is very interesting and would be the sort of person around whom I would like to build if I were running a team. Certainly, Carlos Correa would be a great fit. He's going to cost, though. I mean, he's going to cost a lot more money than the Cubs were willing to pay any of their homegrown players. So I don't anticipate them being in that market. The White Sox at this point, listen, they need upgrades, but I feel like they're more incremental upgrades than overhauls. The fit with Michael Conforto is very good in a number of respects. Positionally, he's left-handed in a lineup that needs a left-handed bat. I know you give up a draft pick, and that's not great. And I know you're signing a guy potentially who's coming off of the worst season of his career. But I think Michael Conforto does make a lot of sense for the White Sox. The outfield market just simply hasn't started moving to this point. And you see that with Nick Castellanos not signing, with Conforto not signing. Seiya Suzuki, the star from Japan, isn't likely to move before the lockout. So there are options still there for the Sox that make sense. And frankly, the Sox are just playing a more urgent game right now than the Cubs. And Tom Ricketts can say whatever he wants. Cubs aren't going to be very good next year. And where I could see them potentially making gains is on the lower ends of the market. And they're not sexy signings, but and I'm not comparing them to this team because they're not going to go out and win 107 games next year. But the San Francisco Giants were not a sexy team by any means. They had Buster Posey, who is a likely Hall of Famer. They have Brandon Crawford, who's solid. Brandon Belt, who's been doing this for a while. But what the hallmark of the Giants was their depth. And they built that depth by going out and making a number of canny moves that you look at as a fan and say, what the hell? But in the end, you're like, what the hell? You know, this is actually pretty great. That, I think, is where the Cubs are likelier to maneuver and operate. And that, frankly, guys, is just going to be a matter of evaluative capacity. Do your evaluators, do your analysts pick the right guys? And if they do, how do you leverage that, David Ross, into winning?
You know, a couple of things out of that soundbite we just heard from Jeff Passan with Waddle and Silva. You can hear the interview in its entirety on the ESPN Chicago app. Just click Waddle and Silva. He's just not here for Tom Ricketts' BS. Every time we hear Passan on our air, it's always a roll. You can hear the audible rolling of the eyes, just like, we know the Cubs have money, biblical proportions. You can just tell he's not here for Ricketts' BS. Because he knows that he's got the money. He feels like you feel like the Cubs should be in there with a commitment to winning financially.
Yeah, I'm not expecting you to go out. You know, somebody texted me because I was ranting on one of my tip of the cap, or recaps.
Yeah, I watched it.
And somebody texted me, who I know over there, said, dude, we're not signing Corey Seager for $325 and two pitchers for $200 million. It's just not going to happen. No one's doing that. I'm not expecting that. I'm not expecting that. But when I hear that you're probably going to trade Wilson Contreras, and right now, as we get ready to lock you guys out, owners, all you've done is got a 221, 34-year-old catcher, a 35-year-old pitcher who ran out of gas in Cincinnati, and he's a solid addition to your rotation, Wade Miley. And then you took a flyer on Clint Frazier, who had an OPS over 600, who sucked in New York this year. That's all you've done? Okay. Clock's ticking. When that thing gets settled, you better be aggressive. You better be.
And they won't.
Probably not.
And they won't.
But they
too many holes in that outfield, too many holes in the infield, not enough power, not enough pitching to get over.
Hoodie, what did we had Jed on.
Yeah.
Remember, we had Rizzo on. He reacted to Jed. We had Jed who fired on Rizzo. But he also said this is not going to be a long process to turn it around.
That's correct.
What does that mean? Because the team you got right now, they would struggle in the men's senior baseball league I play in.
I understand. And that's a shot at Wisdom and Schwindel.
Right.
And Ortega.
And I don't mean it as a shot. Like, okay, Frank Schwindel earned his opportunity. He had a great second half. Fine. Who's pitching for you?
Well, that's right. It smells like the Edwin Jackson era. That's what it smells like.
Right.
That's what it's like we have to field a team, so we're going to put a team together. They're going to lose north of 95 games this upcoming season.
As currently constructed.
Absolutely. And I don't see much different with the team. If I'm a free agent, I don't come to the Cubs. Yeah, I will push someone else out there. Well, you go to the Cubs first. So show me a commitment to winning. Money aside, I can find money anywhere as a player if I'm good enough, right? But I want to be with a winner. That team ain't ready to win. Not right now.
See, what I don't understand is what does Wilson Contreras not do that you'd be willing to move on from him?
You know what? You know what, Cap? Let him go. Wilson should ask for a trade if that's what he wants to do. You know why? Look at the ball club. He doesn't need to set. That guy's a leader. We said it a lot this past summer. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, through it all, Wilson Contreras is a leader. So you know what? Let him, just like Brian, just like Rizzo, let him go. Why stick around? It's obvious to me that he'd be a real good centerpiece to restart the franchise if you had commitment to winning financially, bringing in other veteran players and then making a run for it. But if they don't see that, let Contreras go.
Okay, so I heard from somebody that I trust, they think he's too emotional.
Well, then you know what? Then I don't know what Cubs baseball is supposed to be. If you don't have someone that's going to be a leader and emotional in that locker room to inspire the players, because it ain't coming from Ross. But if it can come from a player like Contreras, what's wrong with that?
Correct.
Somebody with some life in there. That's a problem with the Cubs during this whole time after 16. Nobody said anything.
Are you telling me that if you brought him in, you sat him down, and you said, Wilson, here's the deal. We love you. You're too emotional. You tick off umpires. They don't like, you know, your the flair and the pat, all of that, barking on pitches. Okay, here's the deal. We'd like to sign you to an extension. We also need you to take your leadership to the next level. You got to just a little bit dial it back. You're telling me he wouldn't do that? I know that guy. He would.
He shouldn't have to. How about that?
Well, everyone wants to get better. If there's something he can be better at, I think he would want to do that.
You know, as far as his emotion, though, because the Cubs are don't say anything, when they were going through the struggles of averaging somewhere in the area of 2 to 3 runs a game and struggling to try to be able to put runs together, put hits together, somebody should have said something. I'm sure it was Contreras. And maybe that didn't go over well with those guys like the Rizzos and the Bryants and those guys.
Remember he blasted the leadership in the room?
Well, right. I mean, those guys look good. They look good in the press clippings, but they don't want to say anything when it's nut-cutting time, when you got to be able to find someone to inspire the team to hit.
Correct.
So if Contreras was that guy, why is that a bad thing? That's why I say, you know what? This whole outfit, you know what? If I'm Contreras, I want out of there. It's not even about the Yan Gomes thing. It's like, why should I sit around here for 95 losses? For what? Why should I do it?
Don't disagree.
And if you are a Contreras fan and you think that he's that good, you should wish for him to go too. Go someplace where he can contend and lead someplace else where he can be appreciated.
Yep. I'm a big fan, man. I've gotten to know the guy as a guy. I love that guy. Are the Bears really ready to sit at the adult table? Because the report from Pro Football Talk, that table is like going to eat at Alinea. It's really expensive.
What?
Really expensive. It's called Alinea.
Who's she?
It's a restaurant.
I'd say.
That's next.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So we walked into the IDOT bullpen this morning. IDOT is brought to you by IDOT's LifeOrDeathIllinois.com. Wearing your safety belt is the single best way to defend yourself in the event of a crash. Buckle up. Stay safe. Danny, you can put that higher up on the board so I don't have to stand on my tiptoes to read it.
Turkey Caicos.
Do you really think you're in a position where you should be criticizing after you just did an entire commercial read with your mic off?
And $5, by the way.
More than that. It's got to be more than money. That for that egregious error.
Again, look at my pocket. There's zero in there.
That's Mindy legitimately,
got the wallet. Let's go.
That's legitimately showing up for a game and not wearing your uniform. That's going up to the plate and not holding a bat.
That's $5.
That's going to play shortstop without your glove.
BerniesBookBank.org. Let's go. Cap.
I will get you off to go to the ATM after
It's right
the show.
There, man. I know.
There's zero money.
You always carry a little something.
I have zero. Mindy took what was left on the counter. There's nothing left. There was like $14.
Hold on a second.
And she got it.
On the Studio 41 kitchen you have there.
Uh-huh.
So
that I paid for.
Yes. Oh, no. Well, who else is going to do it? You, her?
Yeah, exactly.
Of course you have to do it.
Tell me about it.
That's why you work so many jobs.
Yeah.
So you got petty cash there on the counter? You said she took the last few bucks?
I set my stuff on the island in the kitchen.
Yes.
In the same spot every day.
Now, that's how rich he is, folks. He's got an island in his kitchen. It's amazing.
So I put the...
Huh?
I put my wallet.
Uh-huh.
I put my car key. And I put my mask. And it all sits in a little spot.
And how about the petty cash? Is it there,
And
too?
I throw whatever cash is in my pocket there.
Uh-huh.
Usually, I don't have more than $25.
Uh-huh.
I was down to $14 yesterday. She took it.
You do understand that every day it's a finable offense. You should always have petty cash for the show.
I should.
You should have it in your office to have it at the ready. It's talking with the mic off. It's coughing and, pardon me, all the coughing and all that. You should always have something.
I should.
So, again, tomorrow.
I'll bring it tomorrow.
$5. I mean, you did half the read with the mic off because you're waiting for McGuffey to turn the mic on for you. You're not on TV.
I forgot that it wasn't on. Anyway.
TV guy doing radio. It's amazing.
So we are in the IDOT bullpen, and Danny.
And brought to you by.
I already read it.
Huh?
I already read it.
All right.
Danny gives us this story from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk.
Yes. You were saying about Mike Florio.
He said, would you rather pay Jared Goff, who stinks, $33.5 million per year, or would you rather pay the best coach? That's Jason Goff. I'm talking about Jared.
Oh, okay.
Best coach in the NFL, $25 million a year. Even though it's believed no coach currently makes that, the market is expected to arrive at that threshold soon. Per a source with direct knowledge of the dynamics of the compensation paid to current NFL coaches, within the next 2 years, the top NFL head coaches will indeed be making $25 million per year.
Now, think about that. That's a mouthful. NFL coaches indeed will be making $25 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a second. Okay. So when you read that, what was your initial reaction? Because I'll tell you mine. Mine is that this is good for the coaches. Now, here's the thing about it. The NFL coaches, I don't have a graph or just knowledge in front of me. I'm just going by just memory. Some of these NFL coaches don't last more than 3 years, Cap. I think the college coach actually lasts a little longer than the NFL coach. Like, is Joe Judge going to get fired here at the end of the season? I'll use him as an example.
Would that stun you? They already basically said they're firing the GM.
That would not surprise me.
Okay, so Jonathan's the new GM. You want your own dude, right?
Yes.
Or you're going to run it like the mom and pop shop in Lake Forest. Okay, you can fire Jerry Angelo, but you got to keep the coach. Huh?
Well, right. Well, here's the thing. What is the top shelf in the NFL as far as coaches? Like, after Matt Nagy, more than likely will be gone after this season.
Mm-hmm.
What? And now, of course, I want us to shoot for the moon. Of course. You want to get the top shelf of coaches. Now, who is that, right? Now, there's a number of coaches that have been successful in college and the pros. Pete Carroll's on that list. Jim Harbaugh has been on that list. Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer, Tom Coughlin.
Yep.
That have been successful in college and pros.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, who is that in the NFL now? Like, you say get Ryan Day. That's one of your choices.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a guy there that's winning at Ohio State. Again, no national championship, but you just know he's on the right trajectory. Right?
Yeah, he's a stud. Ryan Day is a stud. And I think you have to go. Unless, like Danny was saying in our meeting today, that will we see teams start poaching coaches from other franchises, even though they're under contract?
That has to be via trade,
like
then, right?
Joe Madden leaving the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, I see. Okay. Trade or just saying, I'm just going to leave to go.
I'm a heavyweight, yeah. And I'm ready to win. Guess what? Sorry, Rays. You're out.
Didn't John Gruden do that? Didn't he go Raiders to Bucks, kind of force his way?
Well, they traded.
It was a trade, right?
It was a trade.
But he kind of didn't he push his way to make that happen?
Yeah, he did. Danny's right, yeah.
And they gave up two number one picks to get him.
But he made it happen, right? So, like,
yes.
the way NBA players demand out, you know, James Harden doesn't want to play for the Rockets anymore. Yeah, the Nets have to give up a boatload for him, but he wasn't going to play, so you had no choice. Are we going to see coaches say, listen, I know for a fact the Rams are going to pay me $25 million a year. You're not here. I'm not happy. You better move me ASAP.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What if the Bears identify, pick the guy, Mike Tomlin, whoever it is.
Right.
Bill Belichick. He's a little old. But,
no, so, but still knowledgeable. Yeah.
But still amazing.
Yeah.
But whoever that coach is, they go, boy, we wish we could get that guy. And that team says, you want him?
Sean Payton. How about Sean Payton?
Okay. The Saints say, you want Sean Payton? We'll let you have Sean Payton. We want Roquan Smith for him.
No shot.
Really?
No shot.
Really?
He's a coach, but how can he replace a difference-making linebacker for the next 10 years? And by the way, who's generally managing the team if I get Sean Payton? That matters, too.
And he says, we'll put our staff together.
His guy, Ryan Pace.
They've
worked together in the past.
Well, that didn't work for me.
Okay, Ted, let's move on from Sean Payton. It is... Pick a guy. Who's the best coach in the league that's young?
I just think that would be Kingsbury right now.
Yeah, I mean,
Sean McVay.
There's a great example.
Yeah.
Sean McVay. He's a great coach. And he says, I'll leave the Rams. I'll come and rebuild the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
We'll bring in a really good young GM, and we will do it. And the Rams say, you can have him. We want Roquan Smith. You're not doing it? He's going to impact your franchise for the next 15, 20 years.
Is he the coach and the GM? Because that doesn't work today either.
No, he's bringing in a GM to work with him.
I need to know who that matters, though.
Let's assume it's somebody that you're cool
with. Not, you know what, though? I don't think it's going to be a player. It's going to be picks.
Probably.
Because it's always been picks in the past. It wasn't just Gruden. Bill Belichick, when the Jets made him their head coach, he never coached a game for them.
Right.
But he went to the Patriots. I believe they traded 4 draft picks for Bill Belichick, including a first rounder. So it's going to be picks because the contract, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be like a first rounder.
Okay. They want their next two number one picks, sure, which is what they gave for Gruden to go to Tampa.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the answer is yes to that.
You'd do it.
Yes. For a pick. You know why? I'd rather be able to trade the unknown versus the known.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, if I have a good GM, I'll be able to worm my way back into the first round at some point.
Correct.
Because of more deals.
Correct.
I'll get back in there.
Correct.
So that's why. So, but the known, especially one of my big assets, I can't do that. But for the unknown, yes. Because it's just picks. Right,
okay,
so I have no idea what those picks are going to be. I'll trade you that for the known and having a good head coach that can help me.
Okay, so would the Bears ever spend huge money on a head coach? You heard the report, and this is a credible site. I mean, they're on Sunday Night Football. Mike Florio is a huge name. per a source with direct knowledge of the dynamics of the compensation paid to NFL coaches, within the next 2 years, the top NFL coaches will indeed be making $25 million per year. Will the Bears play in the deep end of the pool? Or will they just go get some untested guy and roll the dice and hope they got it right again? That's next.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
That's the report from Pro Football Talk. If you're just tuning in, pouring yourself your first cup, your second, third cup of coffee, get your day started. Pro Football Talk says, per source with direct knowledge in the NFL of the dynamics of the compensation paid to NFL coaches, within the next 2 years, that would encompass the Bears' next coach, the top NFL coaches will indeed be making $25 million per year.
Okay. And that's not where the Bears go. See, here's the difference between the Bears and the Bulls. And this is the reason why we're asking this question to you, the Bears fan. And that, look at what the Bulls did and what the Bulls used to be. Jim Boylan as an assistant. Fred Hoiberg, who was a nice Bull, 10-year pro. And you see what he's doing in Nebraska, not much, right?
But the point, they paid him here.
Yes.
Didn't he get $5 million a year?
Yeah, well, that was, you know, it's $5 million too much.
Right.
You know, I mean.
But at least they paid him. That was the going rate at the time.
Oh, sure. And you also fit in the foursome,
yeah,
that Fred Hoiberg. So that's again another reason why that he was hired as
Gar's guy.
Absolutely. So I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference between the Bulls and the Bears. The Bulls said, wait a minute now. We have Karnaschovas. We have Eversley. First of all, that's the top of the shelf because Karnaschovas did a nice job developing Jokic and that Denver Nuggets team. Nuggets are still a contender in the West because of what Karnaschovas did, right? Working in that front office. Eversley, working with Nike, working with a lot of different players and organizations to be able to be in this position with the Bulls. And then they said, you know what? We're going to go to the top shelf. If we're top shelf, why should we hire some assistant, some college coach? Billy Donovan, tired from his time at Oklahoma City.
Right.
You know, he's coming off. He's trying to go on vacation. He's going to take a year off. No, there's no year off. We want you. Why? Because you're the top of the shelf. You're the best available.
That was your line when the rumor was, hold on a second. Are they keeping Jim Boylan? They hadn't done anything. I remember listening to Sylvie just pissed. Why is Jim Boylan still looking? Relax. There's a process.
Oh, yeah.
And they were documenting in his file certain things. And then, bam, our guy's there. Let's go. And in 2 days, he had him locked up.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Top shelf.
Top shelf. Put that in. It's not bottom shelf Clint Frazier like the Cubs do.
That's right. Oh,
that's pretty damaged. But you know what? It's only a buck. Throw it in the cart.
That's
right. Let's see if we can polish it up a little bit.
Last time the Bears shopped at the top shelf or close to the top shelf was John Fox.
I don't know if that would be top shelf. They paid top shelf. He wasn't top shelf.
Experience?
Yep.
Went to the Super Bowl.
With two teams.
Well that's as close to the top shelf as you'll find.
But he also got fired in Denver.
But you know what? That's as close to the top shelf as the Bears been in that spot in a while, if ever.
When was the last time they Khalil Mack was shopping at the top shelf?
No question. It was the bombshell.
Bombshell.
They got Khalil Mack? Really? Wow.
I still remember literally the water's running in the shower. It's 7 a.m. on a Saturday, maybe 6:45, and I'm getting in the shower. I have to go to work. What did he just say? I had ESPN on,
mm-hmm,
and on my phone it says, breaking, Adam Schefter, Bears to acquire Khalil Mack. What?
That's right.
Like, that's so un-Bear-like.
Yes.
Everyone in the league knew he was getting moved. Everyone was in there battling, and Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy said, we'll take him. And I'm like, wow. And then the next day, highest paid contract in the history of the sport for a defensive player.
That's the top shelf.
That's top shelf.
Absolutely.
And but coaching-wise, no.
And a few years later, we find out that the Raiders won the deal. But go ahead. We're also talking about
they didn't. And,
that's right.
And with the last time they tried to shop at the top shelf for a coach,
mm-hmm,
it was Nick Saban.
Yes.
And Jerry Angelo and Ted Phillips flew to Baton Rouge. They were in his house. They made him an offer. Ted said, we'll pay you $3 million to coach the Bears. And he said, are you guys not aware I had agreed to an extension with LSU already? I make more than that here. What? They left. They called from the airport, and he said, no, I'm out. I'm out. You guys didn't even do your homework. How do you not know what I was making down here? I'm out. And a year later, he's the coach of the Dolphins. That didn't work. But that was when they tried to swing for the fences.
And didn't do their homework also.
Correct.
So that's another thing. So, but before John Fox, who was it? When's the last time the and this is why we asked the question. Because it's a very important hire. Because this is about the development of Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
I know the defense is going in the wrong direction, but the offense should be moving forward. In an offensive league, by having the quarterback that you want, by being able to have Mooney on the team, Komet on the team, the offensive line getting better, you got bookend offensive linemen that are young, right, with Borum and with Jenkins, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the offense is going to be moving in the right direction. However, you got to have the right coach for this as well. So before John Fox, who else was the top shelf as far as coach? Like, wasn't Dick Geron?
No.
Wasn't Wani?
No, Wani was one of the higher, more highly regarded assistants, but he was an assistant.
Yes.
Ditka was a special teams coach who took whatever you offered him because he wrote you a letter begging for the job.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, it was Jack Pardee.
Right.
Before that, it was Abe Gibron, Jim Dooley. And before that, it was Papa Bear Halas for 55,000 years. They've never shopped at the top shelf.
That's why we're talking about this. And this is why we talk about the possible $25 million. The Bears won't sniff any, won't even come close to that. Like, who's the Billy Donovan in the NFL that they could be able to acquire?
Well, that's my question. Is Mike Tomlin, there's been some speculation he might leave Pittsburgh.
Stop. That's not happening.
If Mike Tomlin hits the streets, I would not get outbid.
Who's speculating that? Whoever's speculating, he's got no credibility. Because when the college jobs opened up, remember, he was asked in a press conference, somebody mentioned him for in relation to a college job.
Mm-hmm.
He bit that reporter's head off.
He did.
And he said, I'm not going anywhere. So if people are still speculating that, people don't listen.
Yeah, I think that Tomlin saw that as a step down, and it is. From a storied franchise like the Steelers, he's a step down.
But he used the same, Brian Kelly used the same quote about Mike Tomlin. Yeah, I don't know, the fairy godmother that's dropping a $250 million check. And 2 days later, he's the head coach at LSU.
Don't compare the credibility of Brian Kelly. Just Google him and read his Wikipedia page and see what's going on under his watch at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the guy that I would tell my kids to base their moral compass on, and Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, just set aside.
Don't disagree.
Just set aside the two-minute man, Kelly, and look at the skins on the wall from Tomlin.
But what if Tomlin,
money aside,
what if Tomlin said, you know what? Time for me to get paid. And the Steelers like, you know what? Ben's going to retire. We're going to rebuild. You could go to your next opportunity. And the Bears go, okay, how much? $20 million a year? In.
Cap.
I'd take that guy in a second.
Cap, if Tomlin is no longer the head coach of the Steelers, not just the city of Pittsburgh will burn. There's a lot of places around this country that will say, what are you doing? How come that guy's not in the job for 30 years? What's the problem?
Because he's going to get paid and they're rebuilding.
Through the thick and the thin, that guy should stay the head coach. Thick and the thin. When's the last time the Rooneys have pulled up short financially?
Never.
We're not about talking about the McCaskies or the Maras. We're talking about the Rooneys. Different.
Have they ever? They've never let a coach go anywhere else.
They've had three coaches in 50-some years.
They've never fired anybody,
have they?
The late
Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher. And Mike Tomlin.
Did they fire Knoll or did he retire?
No, he retired.
So they
won four Super Bowls.
I know. That's what I'm trying to remember because it was like in the 80s, the late 80s, right? So they have never fired a head coach and they've never let a head coach leave unless Bill Cowher retiring counts
Correct.
As leaving. So
Correct.
Everybody's
retired.
And he
left because his wife was dying.
All of their head coaches have retired as Steelers head coaches. Think
Correct.
About that.
Tomlin's been there 15 years and he's the seventh highest paid head coach in the National Football League.
He's fine. He'll get more. Don't worry. It's the Rooneys. They'll take care of him.
I'm just wondering. The article I read in the Pittsburgh paper said, could he move on, get a payday somewhere else? They rebuild. Big Ben's retiring, and they've got a ways to go. They don't have their quarterback. None of that.
You get your beak out of the Post-Gazette. Stop reading Mark Madden trying to push the brother out. Don't do that.
Very good. Mark Madden's a good writer.
Yeah, thanks for the pat on the head.
There you go.
Wheeze Reed over here, too.
We've got to play Mike Tomlin from practice yesterday. We'll get to that later. But shot or no shots in 2 minutes.